Master of Life and Death by Robert Silverberg. Chapter 1. The offices of the Bureau of Population Equalization, vulgarly known as Popeek, were located on the 20th through 29th floors of the Cullen Building, a 100-story monstrosity typical of 22nd century Neo-Victorian at its over-decorated worst. Roy Walton, Popeek's assistant administrator, had to apologize to himself every morning as he entered the hideous place. Since taking the job, he had managed to redecorate his own office on the 28th floor immediately below Director Fitzmaugham's, but that had created only one minor oasis in the aesthetically repugnant building. It couldn't be helped, though. Popeek was unpopular, though necessary, and, like the public hangman of some centuries earlier, the Bureau did not rate attractive quarters. So Walton had removed some of the iridescent chrome scalloping that trimmed the walls, replaced the sash windows with opaquers, and changed the massive ceiling fixture to a more subtle electroluminescence. But the mark of the last century was stamped irrevocably on both building and office. Which was as it should be, Walton had finally realized. It was the last century's foolishness that had made Popeek necessary, after all. His desk was piled high with reports, and more kept arriving via pneumo-chute every minute. The job of assistant administrator was a thankless one, he thought. As much responsibility as Director Fitzmaugham, and half the pay. He lifted a report from one eyebrow-high stack, smoothed the crinkled paper carefully, and read it. It was a dispatch from Horrocks, the Popeek agent currently on duty in Patagonia. It was dated 4 June 2232, 6 days before, and after a long and rambling prologue in the usual Horrocks manner, it went on to say, "Population density remains low here, 17.3 per square mile, far below optimum. Looks like a prime candidate for equalization." Walton agreed. He reached for his voice right and said sharply, "Memo from Assistant Administrator Walton. Re-equalization of..." He paused, picking a trouble spot at random. "Central Belgium. Will the section chief in charge of this area consider the advisability of transferring population excess to the fertile areas of Patagonia? Recommendation: establishment of industries in latter region to ease transition." He shut his eyes, dug his thumbs into them until bright flares of light shot across his eyeballs, and refused to let himself be bothered by the multiple problems involved in dumping several hundred thousand Belgians into Patagonia. He forced himself to cling to one of Director Fitzmaugham's oft-repeated maxims. "If you want to stay sane, think of these people as pawns in a chess game, not as human beings." Walton sighed. This was the biggest chess problem in the history of humanity, and the way it looked now, all the solutions led to checkmate in a century or less. They could keep equalizing population only so long, shifting like loggers riding logs in a rushing river before trouble came. There was another matter to be attended to now. He picked up the voice right again. "Memo from the assistant administrator, re-establishment of new policy on reports from local agents. Hire a staff of 3 clever girls to make precis of each report, eliminating irrelevant data." It was a basic step, one that should have been taken long ago. Now, with 3 feet of reports stacked on his desk, it was mandatory. One of the troubles with Popeek was its newness. It had been established so suddenly that most of its procedures were still in the formative stage. He took another report from the heap. This one was a data sheet from Zurich Euthanasia Center, and he gave it a cursory scanning. "During the past week, 11 substandard children and 23 substandard adults had been sent to Happy Sleep." That was the grimmest form of population equalization. Walton initialed the report, earmarked it for files, and dumped it in the pneumo chute. The annunciator chimed. "I'm busy," Walton said immediately.
"There's a Mr. Pryor here to see you," the annunciator's calm voice said. "He insists it's an emergency."
"Tell Mr. Pryor I can't see anyone for at least..."